Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Welcome to Valley Brook. It's a pleasure to be with you and a pleasure to have you here with us on this lovely December morning. And I want to thank our worship team for blessing us this morning and giving us a focal point. And absolutely delightful. You are amazing, God. And I want to thank my sweet, sugary thing, sister, sweetheart, for reading Isaiah 53, because, you know, Isaiah 53 is why Bethlehem happened. Bethlehem happened so that Isaiah 53 could take place. And as she was reading, the one line that stood out and touched my heart and sent me for my pen and a piece of paper was the phrase, "The punishment that brought us peace was upon him." That's the whole ball game right there. That's what it's all about. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And that's what we're celebrating this month, the gospel, the truth about why Jesus came and the implications that that has for our lives and why it is a celebration. So I want to say welcome to the big event. And the big event is called today. And it's a big event because it has never before occurred, and because we get to share it all, every single moment of it, with the living one who lives in us and who has made us alive in him. That is the benefit of the gospel, new life. This month we're looking at good news and why it's good news. So today's message is titled Celebrating Certainty in Chaos. Celebrating Certainty in Chaos. Last week I said life in Christ is like a symphony of many movements, that it is filled with surprising notes of glory, that the universe is his orchestra, that he is the composer and the conductor, and the music never stops. I want to sort of build on that theme this morning with our text. So if you wouldn't mind turning with me to Psalm 33, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5, and this will be our text for this morning, and it's sort of echoes that theme of life in Christ being a symphony of many movements. Psalm 33, and we're looking at verses 1 through 5. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. Which is why I was especially excited about the worship team singing such effusive praise and inviting us to participate. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It's fitting for the upright to praise. It's fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. If you're taking notes this morning, the main idea is this. We can celebrate in chaos. We can celebrate in chaos when we focus on what is certain. We can celebrate in chaos when we focus on what is certain. Because in the midst of chaos, there are certainties. The text mentions three things that are not subject to the vagaries of this world. Three things that transcend the chaos. They're immutable. They're unchanging because they are of the Lord. They are from the Lord. And they are performed by the Lord. And those three things are: the word of the Lord is right and true, as he says. He's faithful in all he does. And the earth is full of his unfailing love. Those things will never change. It does not matter what day it is. It doesn't matter what season it is. It doesn't matter whether you have a job or you don't have a job or whether you're looking for a job. It doesn't change whether you are sick or healthy, whether you're married or single, whether your marriage is great or whether your marriage is troubled, whether your kids are all lined up and acting impeccably or whether they're acting like bats out of hell. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. And when we focus on what is certain, it can move us to a place of singing for joy, where that becomes more than just a task to do, or an instruction from the scriptures, or something that we feel compelled to do. It actually becomes the reason for our celebration, a celebration from the heart. So I want to talk about these, and I'm only going to touch on the first two, and I'm going to spend most of my time on the last one. But it says the word of the Lord is right and true. You know, the world we live in is awash in relativism. What's true today is not true tomorrow. What's acceptable today is not acceptable tomorrow. And what is acceptable tomorrow will not be acceptable 2 years from now. Standards, attitudes, opinions, behaviors are all relative in this world. But the Lord's word remains a compass for us. It remains an anchor for us. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Before he left this earth, Jesus said, "Father, sanctify my disciples. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." And I am amazed by how God demonstrates the truth of his word to me. And I'm sure that you can relate to this. There are times in our lives when it doesn't always happen when we think it's going to happen. It doesn't always happen how we think it's going to happen. But when we put our faith in God's word, when we trust his truth, it's amazing how he has a way of saying in his own little way, and especially for each one of us, what I tell you. See what I mean? Didn't I say it would be so? Didn't I say to you, if you believed, you'd see the glory of God? As I have purposed, so it has happened. And as I have planned, so it shall stand. And so the word of the Lord is right and true. And because it is such, we can focus on it. And therefore, our hearts are anchored and we can sing for joy because it will not change. Secondly, says he is faithful in all he does. He is faithful in all he does. When I pray for you, Judy, when I pray for you, when I remember you before the Lord, when I remember your smile, when I remember your laughter, when I remember your service, when I remember your love, when I remember you before the Lord, and there is a specific thing that I am praying for you about, I always preface it with this: thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to Judy. Because that has not changed from the day that she landed on this planet. that no matter what she has been through, no matter what she has experienced, good or bad, pleasant or painful, the given is that you have been faithful to her. And in this present situation, even as she is aspiring or desiring this other result, and I stand with her in unity before you, that you would grant her that result. I thank you for your faithfulness to her in the process right now. Your faithfulness will not show up in Judy's life when the end result that we are both praying for shows up. It is already operating. And if and when it shows up, it is just corroboration of what's been going on all along. And so I thank you that you are faithful in all you do. You are faithful in all you do. He's faithful in what he gives. He is faithful in what he withholds. He's faithful in the immediacy of his response. And he's faithful in his delayed response. And so when we focus on who he is and we're not distracted and dismayed or deceived by the appearances of things around us, then we can shout for joy to the Lord and we sing skillfully and our hearts are melodic and celebratory when we focus on the fact that the Lord is faithful in all he does. And then this is where I want to camp for the most of my message. The earth is full of his unfailing love. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Now these words appear throughout the scripture, not only here. They appear in other places like Jeremiah 9:24, where it says, I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things. I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things. So, not only does the Lord love, not only does he love justice and righteousness, he is presently and actively exercising it right now on earth. I'm the Lord, and you know what I'm doing? I'm exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. I'm doing it right now because I delight in these things. I am exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth right now. Not in some future time, at some future time, right now, today. I am exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. Now, this was the focus of my Just a Moment piece on Friday. And I realized as I was preparing for this message or thinking about what message I was going to prepare, I realized I have something more to say about that. And so I wanted to take the opportunity to do so. So I'm going to expand on that this morning. I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness and justice and righteousness on the earth. What I wrote on Friday, and I'm going to intersperse some of the phrasing from the Just a Moment piece, but I'm going to expand upon it. Despite its present condition, violence, sickness, lawless, natural disasters, and other ailments, it remains true that the earth is full of the Lord's love, justice, and righteousness. Because to the extent that those qualities exist on any level, to the extent that we experience those things at all, they are from God. The extraordinary kindnesses that we give and receive and we see displayed by others. When the justice system gets it right. My wife was telling me this morning about this story of this woman who was wrongfully accused of murdering her child and how a mystery writer solved the problem. And the first words out of my wife's mouth this morning as she was telling me about it, she said, "It's a God thing." That is a God thing. And if you want to hear the details, you can talk to her. I'm not going to take the rest of the time. But it was fascinating and phenomenal. But they got it right. Cost her 2 years of her life in prison, and other people, it's cost them more. But when the justice system gets it right, it is because of the influence of God. When what is right prevails over what is wrong, when someone finds your wallet and they return it with all the money in it, and you try to give them something as a reward, they, oh, no, 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 no. That is the Lord's influence upon this earth. It's Him exercising His love and His justice and His righteousness. Because if the evil one, whose objective is to steal, kill, and destroy, had his way, if he had his way, the world would be completely devoid of any expression of this. And one day, this is what the case will be, because the Lord's presence will be removed, and what will be in its place is the lack of His presence. And where the lack of His presence is, there is no love, there is darkness, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. To the degree that we experience any of those things, it is coming from the influence of God. Now see, what troubles us, what makes us shake our head and say, what is the world coming to? What makes us feel like everything is falling apart is the fact that we don't have here on earth right now. One day we will, but right here and now on earth, what we don't have is the exclusive display of God's love and justice and righteousness. That's what's absent. It's not that the Lord isn't exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, because to the degree that it exists at all is because of His influence. But what we don't have is His exclusive display of those attributes. See, there are terrible acts of unlove going on every day. Terrible acts, things that just make you want to cry. There's egregious injustice at times. And when we see people looting buildings, and when we see people ransacking our capital, or porch bandits ripping off our stuff, which we have had happen, how could you? How could you? When we see these things happening, we think God is either not paying attention or it's not of real concern to Him. God's attributes are not exclusively on display because we live in a fallen world under the temporary control of the evil one. Now, that's all we know. Brothers and sisters, that's all we know. Let me tell you the story of Betsy. Betsy was a prisoner in a concentration camp, taken captive or sent there because she was helping to hide Jews. She's a believer. And in the midst of all of this mess, she is sharing with other inmates there, or what do you call captives, about Jesus and about His love. And about His righteousness, and about this kingdom, and about just how beautiful it is to know Him. And so some of them are there. I mean, she's laying on her bunk, and a bunch of them are huddled around listening to her as she's sharing. And one of them pipes up and says, "Listen, If your God is so loving, how did you wind up here? And why did he allow such a place as this to exist? And Betsy said, we cannot answer, she and her sister. We cannot answer. We cannot answer. All we can say is we live in two worlds at the same time. This one and the one that is unseen. That's all she knew. At the end of the time, one of those people came to know the Lord. Betsy died in the concentration camp. But her sister went on to become a huge evangelist worldwide, Corrie Ten Boom, and spoke out about Jesus. And her famous phrase was, there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. But here is my point in sharing that story. The Lord has not asked us to explain everything to people. He has not asked us to explain all the whys to people. How do you explain why God allowed a tornado to rip through six states, leaving death and destruction in its wake this close to Christmas? Anytime, but this close to, how do you explain that? When we try to put simple answers to difficult matters, we can sound cruel, cold, clueless, or crazy. And it brings dishonor and disrepute to the name of our Lord. When we try to slap pat answers on big issues for which we have no answers, trying to explain what we don't need to explain, because we feel like if we don't explain it, then that person's faith lies in the balance. And that's just not true. Let me ask you, did you have to have all of your questions answered before you came to know Christ? Did you have to have every mystery of the universe solved before you came to Christ? Of course we didn't. No one would be a believer if we did. The Lord has not asked us to explain. He's asked us to proclaim. He's asked us to proclaim who he is, not explain why everything is the way that it is. I had a sister, and I'm passionate about this because there's a sister that I had great influence over as a younger believer. I was her pastor many years ago, and I saw this post on Facebook from her, and the post said, AIDS is God's judgment against homosexuals. And I said, don't say that. And she said, what happened to you? When did you become so weak on the gospel, essentially? When did you fall away from the faith? And I said to her, I haven't fallen away from the faith. I'm actually focused on the faith. If AIDS is God's judgment on gay people, what do you say when Christians get it? And what is, or who are the people that God is judging with cancer? Who are the people that God judged with polio? Cold, cruel, clueless, crazy, when we step out and start trying to answer big things for which we have no answers. The earth is filled with the love of the Lord. But presently, the Lord has a higher priority in making the world a perfect place. And that priority is patience. Patience with mankind to receive his provision for eternal life through Jesus Christ. The day is coming, brothers and sisters, when earth will be governed by his absolute justice and righteousness, and where his love will be perfectly manifested. But that time is not now. As I said last week, earth is a sinking cruise ship, and this is the time for the lifeboat. This is the time for rescue. One day, everything will change. God has given us a movie trailer, if you will, a preview, a sneak preview of what is to come. And as we move towards care through prayer, I want to share that preview with you of things to come. And I want to read it to you the way that I first heard it and from the Bible that I received as a brand new believer 40-something years ago. It's the first Bible that I owned as a believer. And I want to share with you this preview as the Lord has given it to us. Coming soon. And I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire. And upon his head are many crowns. And he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That day is coming. It is a day when the Lord will rule with a rod of iron and the earth will be absolutely filled with the glory, with the loving kindness, with the justice and the righteousness of the Lord. We have vestiges of it today, but a day is coming when Jesus sets foot upon this earth and he will not come as the Isaiah 53 suffering servant. He will be coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and every eye will see him and everything will be made right. But that's not the agenda today, December 12th, 2021. The agenda today is patience, not wishing any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And so that, my brothers and sisters, is the gospel. That is the unchanging truth. That is why we can celebrate. What a day it's going to be when we see him for who he is. But we don't have to wait until that day to celebrate. We don't have to let the chaos dictate our spirit's perspective or response today. We can sing for joy to the Lord when we remember that what is certain in the chaos is the word of the Lord is right and true. He's faithful in all he does. And the earth is full of his loving kindness, his justice, and his righteousness. And I'm done.